All right, and we are back for another episode of Always Almost There, Day After Show Live. Hello, everybody. Hope your Wednesday afternoon is going well. Neil and I are here today. We're going to talk about last night's St. Louis Goose Show. Pretty
Yes,
good one,
sir.
if I do say so myself. As always,
Yep.
before we get started, a word from our sponsor. Today's episode of Always Almost There is sponsored by Avergio Wellness. Avergio functional mushrooms are here to help right now, whether you are gearing up for a show, going to sleep afterwards, or recovering and restoring the day after. With a wide range of health benefits, Avergio mushrooms help you make the most out of the moment through the ancient healing properties in their highly potent fruiting bodies. The organic certified therapeutic potency and their planet positive refill system are two of the many standout reasons that Avergio is my choice supplement. Be clear, chill, balanced, energized, protected, focused, and calm in the moment with Avergio mushrooms. Use code STORMSOUND15 for 15% off your order, available to ship anywhere in the US or Canada. So, Neil, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. I'm like really excited to talk about this show. I'm excited to talk about Arabalo vinyl coming out, which I've been calling for like a while now. And yeah, lots of news today. It's just like exciting. It's
So
exciting
it's a
stuff.
good news Wednesday, I think,
Yeah,
you
it is good
know?
news Wednesday.
Very exciting stuff.
I am super stoked about that Arabalo vinyl. I've already listened, through it all on Spotify. I've been pretty vocal about how much I really like Arevalo. I was at one of the shows that's on the recording, so that's exciting. They didn't include the recording of, or I was at two of the shows, but they didn't include the recording of Ship of Fools from Beverly, where I lost my mind, and it like picked up on the soundboards of me like squealing.
Hey, at least we got the Zip It Arise.
We did get the Zip It Arise. That is
That
exciting.
that's gonna sound clean on vinyl.
It is going to sound super clean on vinyl. I did want to listen to myself like squealing like a child on vinyl, but I'm apparently going to have to wait till volume two.
If they do another Ship of Fools on volume two, I feel like the Arabalo catalog is big enough that they don't need to.
I think I might be left out on that one, left out in the
Yeah.
cold. But maybe we'll get dim lights on that, which, if anyone's listening, lights. I'll buy all your merch if you
Damn
put
light.
dim lights on the next
Clean
vinyl.
out the merch table at your next Goose show.
So yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if there is a dude right now with like, $5,000 worth of Goose merch,
Yeah,
like, sitting on his kitchen table.
if anyone has a lead on Matt and what happened to him when they played Jeff Angborg, he has not been on Twitter since before the show last night. We want to make sure he's okay. Maybe he's now like, I don't know, he's like washing dishes for them on tour to pay off all the merch. Like, who
He
knows?
could okay, he did get that free copy of All Goose Times,
And
Carmen
yes,
DeRoth
thanks, Dad.
here. Maybe his partner just kind of has locked him in a room after he plopped like 5K worth of merch down on the kitchen table. You never know. I mean, anything could be happening right now.
How would your family react if you were in that position and you showed up home, having bought every piece of merch at the merch
I've
table?
come pretty close. I think I've come pretty close, but not that bad. So I haven't gotten in trouble yet, but I hope he's
You're
well.
walking the
I hope
line.
everything's okay with him. I can't
Yeah.
wait to check in and hear what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear from him.
Yeah. Well, we do have a special guest, Tom. AKA Tom Demands Whipping Post on Twitter. He's here today. He was at the show last night. So we're going to bring him in and we're going to chat about the show. Tom, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm doing all right.
Thanks so
For
much
having
for
me.
being on today.
Sure.
Very excited to have you on and chat about last night in St. Louis. So tell us about the venue, the vibe,
Sure.
what was going on?
Yeah, I noticed they actually did just put the soundboards up on Bandcamp too. So I thought about dropping off and just listening, but
Would have respected that.
yes.
Yeah.
So, they played at the Pageant, which is in kind of a area in St. Louis called the Loop, a lot of good bars, restaurants. I've been at that venue a ton. Really easy to getting in and out of it. Parking can be a little bit annoying. Sound quality there usually is lacking. It's something I've complained about a lot. I did not have that experience last night. I think it's just that jam bands know what people are there for, and they actually spend the money
Shout
and
out.
time to make sound good.
Shout out to Sam Bardani on Front of House Sound for Goose. Always kills it. You know, I found every show that I've been to has just sounded incredible. You know, I heard, you know, a couple of the venues that I saw them in, like, you know, Fillmore Charlotte, or, you know, the sound was going to be terrible. The sound is terrible. Fillmore Charlotte, I think, is the worst venue that I've ever seen a concert in. Absolutely terrible experience, but the sound was awesome.
Nice.
So were the lights, you know, as always.
As always.
No, yeah, bathroom blinds, no bathroom blinds, easy to get a beer, maybe a little bit too easy to get a beer, but didn't lose any time kind of moving back and forth. And I had a great evening, start to finish, had a ton of fun at that show.
Amazing.
Well, glad that you were able to, you know, get up and be on with us. I think I'd be still sleeping, so yeah, thanks for being here. An interesting note about the sound, we were talking about this before we recorded, like, Goose has a way of transcending, like, terrible sound venues. I saw them at T5, which is notoriously bad, and it sounded great there too. So I don't know, maybe other people didn't have the same experience I did, but kudos to them for that. So
never know, yeah. All right, well, so last night's show, let's get into the music, opening up with the Wales. Tom, what did you think of the Wales open?
Yeah, I'm honestly disappointed. It's not necessarily a song I enjoy hearing that much. It was quick and short. I don't know. I guess I didn't really have an opener call. It wasn't something I was really wanting to hear in that spot. But, you know, they got through quickly.
Yeah. And then, you know, I agree. We got some nice new ooze in there. Slightly.
Yeah, we got ooze instead of O's. Yeah, we were talking about that last night.
Ooze instead of O's. That was a cool thing to note. Did not make the set list notes after the show. I don't think it made coaches either. Which I'm surprised about.
The just adding an extra vowel onto
there's no new ooh feel note coming out. But then after that, I think we get into the highlight of the set for sure, which is the Jive 2 Jive Lee pairing. You know, what was that like in the room?
Super high energy. Jive 2 ripped right through, and they jumped right into Jive Lee. Man, people were screaming and yelling. Yeah, that Jive Lee, you know, it was the highlight of the night for me, I think, in the room. I'm looking forward to listening back again, and that this old C might kind of catch me. By then, I think I was a bit oversaturated with music, maybe. Jive Lee had a section where Peter was on synth really heavily, and the synth was super loud in the room. I could, like, feel it in my chest. It reminded me of Paige opening 1999 in that Vegas show with that super loud synth, right? That really did it for me. There was some Pancake teasing in there too, I think, toward the end that got me really excited. Maybe I was just hearing it, but
I'll go back and listen for that though.
That's, yeah,
see if you can hear it.
I'm always after teases.
It sounded like when they go back into Pancakes at the end of a jam. That's what I felt like was going to happen there for a second. But yeah, that was definitely the highlight of that set. And Jive Lee in particular, I thought, was the most creative the jamming got that night and was kind of interesting.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, anytime you get close to 28 minutes of Jive in a show, it's pretty awesome. And when you begin at the second song of the show, that's pretty spectacular too. You know, echo some points about Peter on the organ last night. It was outrageous in this, and then later in Engborg, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
And I will listen again for those Pancakes, like, outro teases. I have heard that in jams before. It's a lot in, what is that? The echo that Kevin really loves. Is that Chrysalis Echo? It was the echo of a Rose. Yeah. So that little, like, motif shows up in other jams. So, like, I'm definitely going to go listen for that, because I wouldn't be surprised if that's exactly what you were hearing. It's a thing that they can kind of hook into. Yeah, man, this Lee is, like, pretty cool. And they do a bunch of different cool stuff. You know, I think Ryan would call it marimba. I would have called it vibraphone. But I think we get a little bit of the Peter on vibraphone in there.
I think it's potato, potato.
Yeah. I think every time this comes up, I'm just going to do this thing where we disagree on what we're going to call it.
Great.
Why not?
We're good at disagreeing.
And then, you know, like, after that, you know, you get that, like, a pretty extended, like, Ted-like jam, which I think is kind of what you were talking about there. And then the ending of this Jive Lee is so outrageously fast.
Oh, my God.
It's bananas. It's, like, one of the fastest I think I've ever heard. Kind of blew my mind at the time, where I was just like, I can't believe this is ending so quickly. But And it was tight, too. It, like, it wasn't sloppy where, like, they weren't on the notes. They were crushing it.
I also, you know, there was one point towards the end before they really got into that breakneck section where Rick started doing this like really dark, like, you know, like thing that I was hoping he was going to kind of lead the band into a little bit. And it felt like the rest of them kind of resisted him a little bit, so he didn't push it further. But yeah, this jam was phenomenal. As you mentioned, great synth work from Peter. Interesting to note that he was actually using the Nord synth stuff instead of the newer Prophet, which I'm still waiting for its moment. It's going to have its moment. I'm ready. And I'm waiting. But yeah, this Lee, like, you know, another in a great group of Lees played this year. You know, it's really stepped out again. Like 2021, there weren't really as many exploratory versions. But it's nice to see it really, you know, being a standout this year.
Yep. I mean, it's, you know, I think like in 2021, there's a couple of good ones out there, right? Terminal 5.
Yeah.
We just talked about
D5.
Like one more that I'm trying to think of that kind of happened up in the Midwest, but it's not coming immediately to mind.
And Eau Claire?
Maybe. But for the most part, like, it was just like, you get like a brief period of like some like funk and then like, you know, you're done. Now you're getting like some actual, like, you know, some kind of satisfying extra pieces in there that, you know, you don't normally get.
Mm-hmm.
It's a launching pad for creative jamming too, which is what I really love when they kind of dive into. And as we'll talk about later, I feel like Hungry Sight is usually that, and that got cut short this time. But there's certain vehicles that really kind of set them off in a really creative path. And Jive Lee recently, I feel like, has been one of those.
Yeah, yeah,
totally.
All right, first set continues on Old Man's Boat. Jeff Engborg, so ready to close. Tom, this trio.
Honestly, this Old Man's Boat, I don't really remember much of it. I'm not sure if maybe there was a bathroom trip in there or it kind of all blends together in my head a bit. The Jeff Engborg was awesome. I was going really hard during that, worked up a sweat, dancing, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
That really hit the spot in the room. I feel like everyone felt the same way, right? Like noobs and vets alike, that really did well in the room. I had heard the song once or twice, wasn't too familiar. I'm going to be listening to that a fair amount. I really like that song. And then, yeah, So Ready was a pretty standard So Ready. I think it's good in that slot. I think I'm a slight preference to Slow Ready. I don't know, but
good man.
You know, that it was fine in that slot.
Yeah, So Ready really works as that first set closer. I absolutely love Engborg. It's so good. I'm thank you to Matt, wherever you are, for you know, buying all the merch so we could have Engborg back again. Hopefully the positive crowd reaction last night inspires them to play it more. You know, I saw it the two times they played it in March, and it was awesome. As you said, like, you can't not work up a sweat during Engborg. You're just like, just going hard. I did notice, unlike prior versions, Rick was playing a different guitar part during some of the composed sections, which was interesting to me. He was playing like it sounded like a different harmony of the main melody. So that's interesting to go back. I haven't gone back and really done like an A to B listen, but it sounded different to me last night, but sounded like they extended some sections beyond what we heard in March. You know, Peter absolutely tearing up the clav and the organ in the song as he does, you know, and the rhythm section really also in this song, just that bedrock of just the groove, you know, Trevor, Spuds and Jeff just locking in on it. It's such a great tune.
Yeah, man, who would have thought that Ryan would love a song that, you know, Peter plays almost every keyboard he's got on?
Especially the clav.
Yeah. Like, you know, like Noah said, this was a jam heavy show for sure. And then this Engborg, I think, and like, I could be wrong here, but that Engborg got a little bit more jammed out than any Engborg we've had to date.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at like minutes, but it certainly felt more improvised. What an awesome song. I've yet to see Goose play it live, but I did see the entire Engborg suite at a Great Blue Show, which was
that
exciting.
Counts.
Yeah, I mean,
that
it does count, exciting. I guess.
Was that one with Engborg guessing?
Yeah, Engborg was actually playing Engborg, so
there
that was exciting. But yeah, last night it was killer. I think we were pretty excited about it, like when it was going down. I mean, anytime they play that song, it's pretty exciting. This was the third instance of it being played, right? Or is this the fourth?
Fourth. They debuted it in Seattle in February, played it in DC, and then Royal Oak in March, and then last night.
Wow, way back in Seattle.
Noah also says Lily's tiger vibes in the Angborg. Noah, please elaborate on this. I want to know the parallels between Lily's Tiger, which is a very nice melodic, like synthy tune, to like, you know, the absolute rage fest that is Angborg. Yeah, same length. Royal Oak version, Ryan.
All right, well, there you go. I don't know. Certainly felt like more improvised to me at the time. I don't know. I'll go back and listen to him. But usually it kind of feels like just like an instrumental, right? This felt like a little bit more than an instrumental
to me. Yeah, I will definitely be going back to listen to this Angborg for sure.
Yeah, so, well, Tom, I'll be going back to listen to the show a lot. For sure.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
Tom, what was the vibe like in the venue at Set Break after So Ready ended?
High, right? People were into it. So I brought three Goose newbies to the show with me, all fellow Fish fans that I'm trying to bring along the path that I've been on and kind of converting and getting really into Goose. Everyone left by the end of the night with a really good vibe too. Have already got a number of emails from people asking for some further recs and where they can dig in. So it did its trick. My Set Break was talking with those guys and digging deep into the music and talking about parallels between that and experience getting the Fish.
Awesome. Nice. That's great. And then the Hunger Site Magic Carpet Ride, opening to the second set. I was a little bit worried during this pairing. I want to say, you know, we've seen already this tour a bunch of times, like a really, really strong first set and then a less strong second set, you know, having no jam on the Hunger Site and then dropping into the Magic Carpet Ride. I did think they were maybe going into Dr. Darkness after Hunger Site, based on the kind of, you know, spacey jam thing that they did, but it was Magic Carpet Ride instead, which it looked like the crowd was really enjoying it. You know, people were dancing still. And, you know, same with, I think it was the second night of Atlanta, that second set, you know, higher energy stuff that the crowd is loving, but maybe doesn't translate as well on the couch. So what was this second set opening pairing like in the room?
Hunger Site definitely caught me off guard. I don't remember the last time. I know they'd played it already, this kind of short run, so I did not have that on my list of things I was expecting. So I was very excited when they started it. I did a lot of screaming and jumping up and down. I just love that song. Sing along every word very loudly.
Yeah.
As I said before, I see this as a launching pad to some kind of different sounding jamming. And so I was initially disappointed when they ended it and went into Magic Carpet Ride. The drop into Magic Carpet Ride is awesome every time. And Goose kills that song. And so I got over the disappointment pretty quickly. So I was a little bit disappointed not to hear that Hunger Site jam. Edgar Carter delivers, and you're correct. Everyone in the room was into it, you know, especially the noobs.
Yeah, man. Like, that's the interesting thing. And I'm glad you said that, because we spend a lot of time talking about the music. And like we, you know, like Ryan and I and you know, like lots of folks on Twitter absolutely consume the hell out of Goose, right? And so when they do something like this, they drop out of Hunger Site and then start Magic Carpet Ride. Like, I think to some folks that like feels disappointing because like we know what can come with Hunger Site. But like if you're in the room and that's your first Goose show and you're not familiar with like, you know, all of the Hunger Site jams, like Philly Hunger Site or whatever, you know, you're going to love that. That just crushes. And as somebody who grew up in Connecticut, going to like Max Creek shows when I was like a teenager, like you were there for the Magic Carpet Ride. I mean, that crushed every time they did it. So I've said this before on the pod. It's just, you know, it's a fun song live. You know, it doesn't have a whole ton of substance to it, but it doesn't have to, right? It's just a jam. Just get you heard. What a jam. Just a rock.
Yeah, and you know what? We did get you know a ton of improv in the next two songs. But let's talk about this arrow first. You know, strong 20-minute arrow. I think this is definitely an above-average version from what we've seen, you know, this year and last year especially. A lot of arrows that kind of blend together after a while. This one, you know, we were talking about, again, that, you know, Neil, you tweeted the other day, you know, two guitar attack Goose. Absolutely incredible stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, you got to bring it up because Jive's here. We actually have gone through the whole pod without actually talking about Jive yet. It's like we're gonna have to slip in some things to make fun of them at some point.
We haven't gotten to the fantasy segment yet. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
But Tom, talk to us about this arrow.
Yeah, as I kind of shared before, when we were talking about it. High energy, like the room, everyone's into it, right? I found it to be a bit repetitive. It stayed in kind of a type one vamping pocket for a long period of time. That's not my preference. It's not what I want to hear. Probably picking Harris to a certain extent, but knowing that the hunger site was cut short and we instead got time put in that arrow, that would have been, if I had my preference in building the most perfect show, would have switched that around. But I didn't see people bored during the arrow, that's for sure. Especially people new to the band. But the people I was there with were really into it.
The arrow, like, I just actually listened to today. I actually didn't finish the show last night, bro. I think it does have like a pretty cool section in it that I really enjoyed, where Rick and Peter are both playing essentially rhythm guitar on their guitars, but Peter is actually leading the melody with like a couple extra notes in that rhythmic playing. So like, totally hear you on like, sometimes like that's where arrow goes, right? We talk about this a lot on the pod too, where sometimes arrows can go for a really long time and they kind of do the same thing for a really long time, right? This one, I think, had like a pretty interesting piece that I'm excited to go back and check out again, where, I don't know, it just was like really cool two guitar attack, right? And when we were talking about the two guitar attack earlier, I'm going to keep bringing that up. I don't know like how media of a topic it is, but like, it is just cool to point out every once in a while just how good Goose is when they're playing two guitars. But, you know, they're also pretty damn good when Peter's on the keys too. But it's just fun to point out. I enjoyed that section of the arrow. And then it kind of did drop into, like, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, just like a little four on the floor kind of jam to kind of ride out. But I still think it had like a pretty cool part at the end of it. So, you know, all in all, like, if you're going to see an arrow show, this is like a pretty good one to see, I think.
Yeah, okay.
That's my take on it.
I look forward to it.
I agree. Yeah. Definitely an interesting section. Definitely some parts of it that were more standard, but great arrow. And then this old C, my personal jamming highlight of the night for sure. Brian said earlier on Twitter, when your cool down needs a cool down. I love what they've been doing with this old C this year, you know, kind of starting with the Bozeman version, which is still near the top of my jam of the year list. This one I think is going to make it up pretty high. I need to go back to it a couple more times before I slot it in, but wow. Really good. Tom, this old C.
I cannot wait to re-listen to it. I did catch the snippet that Jive Goose posted earlier. That was in the kind of second jam segment, correct? Or was that the peak?
Correct.
Okay. That it came on real quick too. Rick all of a sudden came on and just started playing tons of notes and like driving it toward that peak. I remember being in the venue. I might've been like on my phone or sending a text or like looking at Twitter for a second. And then all of a sudden he did that. And it just brought everyone right back into it. Right. It's like I put my phone away immediately. That the ending of this, let's see, really was something that like stuck with me. Walking out of the venue.
Man, this old C is a really sneaky tune, right? Like, so sometimes it could be just like a slow tune and they can walk away from it. It almost never is when they play it. But you get something out of the deal that you weren't expecting when you heard those opening notes, right?
Yeah.
And this one, you get a multi-part jam. I think when we talk about jams of the year, we are suckers for like multi-part jams. And this one's got it. So like already, like, you know, it's like going to be way up the list. But yeah, man, it's exciting. There's a lot of really good stuff to dig into there. I didn't get a chance to dig into it as much as I wanted to. I was listening to it and like typing into like group chat like earlier today, like why did no one tell me this was so good? This is outrageously good.
And for anyone wondering, we replied with because you went to bed.
Because I went to bed, which is fine. I had to get up early. I'm like fresh and, you know, like I'm ready to go for the show today.
Would you say you're spry?
I'm feeling spry. As you know, because I'm a pretty spry guy. I'm feeling good and I'm glad that I did. And, you know, I'm glad I dug into that show when I did. I wish I had a chance to listen to it twice before we did the show, because I'd like to get into some of those finer parts and talk about them, but we'll record again and we'll definitely be talking about this jam again.
You know, say something real quick about the song itself. It did not feel like a breather in the venue. I don't know if that's just me personally, because I love that song so much and wasn't expecting to hear it. But lyrically, man, that song just really hits hard. And I just love hearing Rick's kind of soulful, emotional play on that. The people I were with who do not know the song also were like super into it and talking after the show about how strong lyrically it was. And so that, I think that set the stage then for that amazing kind of second jam peak. But the song itself did not feel like a breather. It really kind of hit hard in the room.
Right. It's like one of the cool things about Goose, right? That's a ballad that just like absolutely knocked your socks off, right? And like that's a thing that Goose can do. And not all jam bands can do that, right? That's an exciting thing. I think it's one of the things that really pulls me in about Goose. And yeah, it's a killer tune. And it's an especially killer tune when they play it for 20 plus minutes when they play late second set. Bring it every time.
And then, yeah. And then after that, we get the SOS to close the set. I love SOS in this spot. I think it's a fantastic second set closer coming off of a big jam like This Old Sea. Really, really works.
Yep. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, no complaints. SOS was perfect in that spot. The old man's, the peak there in that This Old Sea definitely set the stage for it. But I did enjoy that SOS. Know it well enough to, kind of dance along and hum along to it. And so really enjoyed hearing it live for the first time. Can I bounce into the encore yet, or are we going to go back around again? Because I got to say that encore really hit the spot. And I wouldn't mind if they just closed every show with it.
Right on.
It really
Neil's going to disagree with you. Yeah. I'm gonna simulate. We're going to pretend that Jive is here for now. And this is his facial expression.
Oh man! Like, should I like pretend I'm Jive? Like
no, but man. it's you know, we know.
I don't know. Real quick, hold on.
Expression.
let me talk about SOS first. Like, love it in that slot. I feel like that one like hits, no matter when they play it, where they play it. I think it hits with people at their first show versus like people who've seen like SOS like a dozen times, and like killer set to closer. Sure, why not? I don't know. This Love Light does not hit the spot for me. I've seen a couple Love Light encores, and I am done with Love Light encores. I'm done with Love Light encores. I don't know. You know what it is? I'll say what it is. This is why I don't love Goose's cover of Love Light. Although this one like does have really good singing in it. Rick really does put a little extra mustard on it. But like if you love Pigpen, you just can't think of it any other way. And I love Pigpen. So when I hear Rick sing, I'm like, it's the only song on earth I would be like, yeah, I'd rather hear somebody else sing this song. The only song that they sing. I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh. It is. I mean, it's a fun song, and like, it definitely gets a little boogie for the encore. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, I was hating on it earlier. I was.
Yes. I do like it when Spuds hops on vocals for it, which he's done a couple of times.
T5,
yeah. Extra shtick.
Yeah.
T5, Montana, DC.
Montana. Yep.
It's good. I think they were in a time crunch. I think we all assumed that curfew was midnight based on that point, but it seemed that it was at 11:45 based on the very concise Love Light instead of the white lights that was on the set list. Hopefully we see that white lights pop up in the next few shows. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do for the next two nights in New Orleans. Cause last year's New Orleans show was really very much just like a party show, wasn't very much improv at all. Was that the show with the dark horse that they ripcorded into Rockdale?
All I remember from that show was The Way It Is and like Jive being really excited about The Way It Is. And then it turned out to be not that good. What I remember.
I remember he wasn't excited about the 15-minute Disco Inferno in the second
set. Disco Inferno, yes, that is that show. It was just like it was a straight party show, right? And I think folks over there loved it, loved it.
And last year was also in like the tiniest venue.
Yeah, it's like somebody's garage.
When they were like, oh, we could walk off for the encore, but it's too difficult to get off the stage, so we're not gonna.
Exactly.
That was good. Tom, so final thoughts on last night's show, your experience, the music, what you're looking forward to re-listening to the most, everything.
Yes, I'll do that. Real quick on Love Light, I get that, right? Like, Goose is the opposite of grimy, right? That's what Pigpen wails, right? It's a soft cover. It feels soft, but everyone knows all the words, and it was quick and high energy, and I understand what you're saying.
I think it's great if you take it within the context of Goose, Like, yeah. I think they do a great cover of the Bobby Blue Bland song. But, you know, as a longtime Grateful Dead fan, having listened to Pigpen do it, yeah, it's harder to then go to the Goose version and be like, oh, well, you know.
I can't think of a song that would make them feel softer. Like, it's in terms of, like, yeah.
I would never knock anybody for liking That Love Light, yeah, for sure. But I know at least Russo is in the same boat with me. And, you know, maybe if I say I hate it enough, next time they play it, they'll be like, this one's for Neil, you know, because he hates this song. Because you know, I want a dedication too. Everybody's getting dedications now. Like, I want one.
I wouldn't mind a whipping post dedication, but
there you go. And you deserve it.
From any band.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, it's a really, yeah, any band.
I noticed you've added in a demands now. Before it was just like, I want you to play it. Now it's like, play it or else.
It's getting more aggressive. It'll become pathological eventually. But
nice. You know, Rick played it at a festival in early September.
I saw that.
It could happen. Yeah.
I'm thinking Tab Goose Tour. I think that's my best shot, right? Like, Trey used to play it. It was like one of Fish's original, I mean, I don't need to proclamize too much, but it was one of Fish's original jam vehicles, right? Like, going back to the 80s, and all of a sudden they just dropped it completely. But it's obviously a song Trey likes. Rick just played it. Maybe they'll cover it together.
I mean, hey, you know, historically, Goose has played some Allman Brothers stuff. Like, I think they used to play One Way Out. Maybe it wasn't them.
I think they should, because I think they would do really well with some Allman Brothers covers.
Hey, you know, I thought for sure we'd see one after like the Allman Brothers Dream set, and then them playing in Atlanta just the other day.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that would be a place where they sneak that out, but
if we get a sit in with, you know, any other guitarist, like a Liz Reed might be really cool.
Yeah, maybe. We can hope. We can dream.
Allman Brothers, yeah. I also think Rick would do pretty well at singing some of the stuff.
He didn't do a half bad job at the Dream set, so
yeah, that's true. So yeah, Tom, final thoughts on last night.
I left musically satiated and ready to sleep. Very excited to dig into this old C in particular and re-listen to that Jive Lee. I'll put the whole thing on probably in order here to finish my workday. Heading down to Austin to see him Saturday. Looking forward to getting one more show in.
I'll see you there.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Awesome. I'll see you there. Looking forward to get one more show in before Cincy. But yeah, I left satiated. That's how I would put it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I'll see you at Stubbs on Saturday. Very excited for that show.
I'm excited for the whipping post. Yeah, the whipping post is gonna be sick.
Let's start it now.
Whipping post on Saturday at Stubbs.
Yeah.
If you're getting this. All right. Well, Tom, have a fantastic day. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Thanks,
Tom. See you guys.
Take care.
Really great show. Where do you rank it in terms of the tour so far?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it enough, but this is one of the better shows of the tour.
I think so. If not, it might be my favorite so far. I think just as a complete show, it really might be. You know, again, also, that's a hasty rank. You know, haven't listened to it enough. I'm very excited to see where, you know, Lee and C slot into my playlist. Arrow, maybe. But yeah, I think it's a great show. You know, bodes really well still. I think they're still on that upward trajectory towards the rest of the tour. Really, really, really excited to see them in now 3 days. So
yeah, man, I'm excited for you. You didn't put the sign up like we talked about the other day, but you should.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. You know what? Next time I'm podcasting, I will be in Austin on Friday. So.
Oh, you should find a great spot in Austin to podcast from, so we have like a scenic backdrop. But closing thoughts on the show. Closing thoughts on the show. I'm going to go back to this comment. It was a jam heavy show, and if you like improv, this has to be near the top of your list of shows on the year. I think the best jam of the tour is probably in this show. And that's like a pretty dangerous statement, because there's a pretty hefty Rosewood out there that people like a lot. But I do think probably it's going to shake out that this old sea is one of the better jams of the tour, although who knows, they might just blow it out of the water in the next show. But this is a very, very good show. It's got rare songs in it. I mean, if you catch an Engborg and a This Old Sea in one show, that's exciting stuff. If you're the kind of person who chases tunes.
They actually, they played, I think, on the Goose Originals that are like in rotation, like non-Turkish Hills. They played, I think, like two, like some of the longest gap ones last night. Like Wales was also on like a 14 show gap, 14, I think.
Yep.
Engborg, obviously, This Old Sea was like 19 shows. Jive 2 was at like 9, which is crazy. Yep. So, you know, they're crossing off some of those. SOS was also at 8 or 9, I think.
Yeah, it was 8 or, I think it was 7. I don't know. Maybe it was 9. In any case, it was more than it normally is. It was due, and it had been.
Oh, it was only 7. But
yeah.
Yeah. The rotation's interesting. You know, now, obviously, Fantasy is going to start getting harder now that repeats are in play. You know, we had the nice bubble of the first, you know, 4 nights where they're not going to repeat, so you're going to get a lot of points. And but now is where we kind of separate the serious players from the non-serious players, I think, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one is, you go out there and you can just pick them out of a hat and probably do better than even thinking about it critically. This next show is going to be really hard, and then depending on how that one goes. Like, if they do a bunch of short rest shows in this next one, or short rest songs in this next one, which they've done, and kind of, like, after completing the loop.
Yeah, then Friday's even more difficult.
Yeah, that is even more difficult, and then, like, it's impossible to guess what they're going to play. But, you know, I'm really enjoying that aspect of it, of this tour so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, there are no guarantees on this tour. There's no, like, showing up and saying, today is the day they play Arcadia.
True.
Which you very easily could have done 2 years ago. You would know. When that
even a year ago,
yeah, for sure.
Even a year ago, last fall, it was, you know, it was really easy to predict stuff for most of it. Yeah. But yeah, it's playing songs on short gaps, different set list calls, you know, deviating from the written set list, which they did tonight or last night for the first time in a few shows. You know, they've been sticking pretty closely to it for the most part. But yeah, will we get that Wisteria? Will it ever come?
I mean, it perhaps not. Like, that's the thing, is like, they don't necessarily need to play it now. There was a time where they would have to play it just to fill the cap of songs, but
would I can skip it
for the next 3 shows. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, maybe they'll play it for you at Stubbs. Let's hope.
I would be happy with that. Maybe they'll play a version better than DC, if that's possible.
Maybe, and then we'll have to argue about whether or not that's better than San Fran for like the next few months. Until next 2 months, until we do the bracket. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have some nice attendance bias.
Yeah. It's probably going to be a killer show. It's a killer town. I'm sure they're going to feel real good, especially after coming off 2 nights in New Orleans. Which that'll be interesting to see, too. I mean, you know, usually like 2 night runs, like second show, they're like nice and well rested. I have a suspicion at least some of them won't be nice and well-rested.
Yeah, I was going to
say, it's after the first night. Like, Jeb is going to be looking like run a little ragged. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I'm excited about 2 nights there, because I think it did feel rushed like last time they were there. Like, they just kind of like in and out, boom, tiny venue. Sounds like this venue is a lot bigger.
And also longer shows, I assume, because it's New Orleans on a Thursday and Friday. So I'm not anticipating early curfew.
Right.
Also means, you know, I'm going to be pulling a U and going to bed tomorrow night before the show, because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning for my flight.
No excuses, right?
Yeah, I know.
Are you recording? Are you recording after that? You
gonna be out, well, my plan is to listen to the show on the flight and be ready in the afternoon.
Sounds good.
But so I will see you, or those of you watching, I see you in Austin. If you're going to be at Stubbs on Saturday, come find me. I will have the remaining Straight Burden stickers that I have. I don't know how many that is. I think I have 20 or so. It's not a ton, but come find me. Ask me for a sticker, because I will forget that I have them. But very much looking forward to that show this weekend. And as always, thank you everybody for tuning in today. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. We See you next.